There's no easy fix to becoming the kind of salesperson who generates world-class results on a consistent basis. But there is a path to that destination, and Anthony Iannarino is your guide from beginning to end. In this book, you'll learn the 9 mindsets and the 8 skill sets you need to master in order to become a world-class salesperson. Part number 1, mindset. The beliefs and behaviors of sales success. Self-discipline. Some of the most important commitments you make in this life are the ones you make to yourself. In fact, each of the elements of sales success depend on it. There are 3 qualities you need to develop to increase your level of self-discipline. Willpower, acting now in spite of no immediate reward. Fortitude, which is courage in adversity. And accountability. There are 5 ways you can develop those qualities. Number 1, create a discipline list. These are the things you do on a daily, weekly, monthly basis that create the ultimate results you want. Number 2, do the things you hate doing first. Number 3, make your commitments in writing. Number 4, make your commitments public. And number 5, eliminate distractions and multitasking. Optimism. Sales is hard and full of rejection. Without a steady dose of optimism, it's almost a certainty that you'll give up before you reach mastery level. How you deal with your failures will determine your future. An optimist deals with failure by accepting it, embracing it, and learning from it. To give you the ability to react that way to your failures, here are 5 practices to help you develop your optimism muscles. Number 1, keep a gratitude journal. Start with writing down 3 things you are grateful for each day. Number 2, keep a record of the value you create. Reminding yourself of your successes will help you realize that you've created success in the past, and the next one is right around the corner. Number 3, discard unhealthy beliefs. Write down the beliefs that are holding you back and what's at stake if you don't let them go. Number 4, avoid cynics, critics, and burnouts. Surround yourself with supportive and growth-minded people instead. And number 5, go on a negativity fast. Skip the news and gossip columns. Caring. Caring about your customers is critical to your success and is all about the desire to A, understand what they want, and B, create positive outcomes for them. It requires you to be empathetic for, intimate with, and present to your customers' needs. Here are 5 ways you can turn caring, which is usually free, into a competitive advantage. Number 1, be a student of people. Always pay careful attention to verbal cues and body language when talking to your customers. Number 2, put yourself in the customer's shoes. Put yourself in the customer's position and feel what they are feeling. Number 3, listen for and accept your customer's interpretation. Accept that their interpretation of events and facts are true for them. Number 4, make caring an action. It isn't enough to think the right thoughts. You have to do the right things. And number 5, remember the little things. Follow up. Thank your customers for orders. Make sure they get their outcomes delivered, not just the product. Competitiveness. Sales is a zero-sum game. One salesperson wins the business and everyone else gets nothing. So, sales requires the ability to be a strong competitor. A strong competitor is the combination of 3 attributes. Desire, wanting it enough. Heart, the ability to work hard over the long term. And action, obvious, but it's also worth stating. There are 3 ways you can ignite your competitive spirit. Number 1, play your game. Don't play your competitors' games. Number 2, study your wins and losses. This is critical to not repeating the same mistakes over and over. And number 3, leave no weapon unfired. Think widely about what resources you have available to you and use them all. Resourcefulness. After the sale has been made, you need to continue to be resourceful to your customers, sometimes for decades. Why? Because your customers continue to get hit with new challenges that require them to produce new results. Here are 5 ways you can be more resourceful now. Number 1, spend time thinking. Schedule at least an hour per week just to think about creatively solving your customers' current or future problems. Number 2, generate ideas. There's a saying that the only way to create great ideas is to create a lot of ideas. So, get used to doing that. Number three, explore ideas without judgment. Don't play devil's advocate in this stage. Number four, identify alternatives. Use your current ideas to find even more new ideas. Combine ideas together to make a new one as an example. Number five, stay positive. This is hard work and requires you to stay in a positive frame of mind while you do it. Initiative. You need to constantly keep yourself in motion. That requires you to be proactive, engaged, and innovative. There are three ways you can ensure that you're always remaining in motion. Number one, get ideas from your team. Get a monthly meeting in the calendar where you meet as a team to get new and fresh perspectives about how to add value to your clients. Number two, build on your experience. You have a large reservoir of past experience in different industries. Pull from those to understand how to apply insights in one industry to another. Number three, swim against the industry tide. Analyze the way your client's industry currently does things, and then generate ways in which it could be done differently. Some of those different ways will be better. Persistence. What does persistence look like? Here's a true story from Anthony's past. He called one of his dream clients every week for 75 weeks and left, you guessed it, 75 voicemail messages. And you guessed it again, he eventually got the order. The idea with persistence is that you want to give yourself the best possible chance of being in the right place at the right time. Of course, you want to do it in a way that doesn't make you come across as a nuisance, so every communication should include value-producing information. Here are three ways to improve and apply persistence to your sales routine. Number one, reframe setbacks. Failures allow you to make adjustments and improve. View them that way. Number two, reset the game clock. Every time you don't make a sale, move the game clock back to the beginning and start again. And number three, try something new. When you're thinking of an outcome you're trying to achieve, remember the list of actions that can get you one step closer to the goal. Communication. The best salespeople know that the most important communication tool you have in your arsenal are a great set of questions and the ability to listen well. In the early stages of the sales cycle, any statements about you or your company should be in response to client questions only. How do you get better at communicating? Here are things you can do to get started. Number one, practice being an exceptional listener. Don't be planning your response as your prospects answer your questions. Number two, put yourself in their shoes. Try using their words to explain your ideas and you'll come across as somebody who understands their world. Number three, master the art of asking great questions. And number four, write, rehearse, and use scripts. Thinking on your feet is a necessity, but you should be using scripts for as much of the process as possible. Knowing what works and then executing on that is critical. Accountability. There's an old saying that people don't want to buy a quarter-inch drill, they want a quarter-inch hole. Your customers are interested in outcomes, and what you sell is only a means of obtaining it. The insight here is you need to become accountable for producing results for your clients, and here are three ways you can start to get better at it. Number one, move from products and solutions to outcomes. You're selling outcomes in the form of better performance or accelerated results. Number two, verify, verify, verify. Always ensure that the result you're selling is being accomplished. Number three, take responsibility for the outcome. You're ultimately responsible for what you sold, whether you like it or not. And number four, get help and rally your troops. From the outset, do whatever you need to do with the resources you have to ensure your client is going to get the outcome that they want. Part two, skill sets, the abilities of sales success. Closing. In order to sell, you need to be able to get people to make commitments. Sales has become more and more complex over time, and it now requires you to master the 10, yes, 10 commitments to close a sale. Number one, commitment of time. The first thing you need to get a commitment for is their time. Number two, the commitment to explore. Your clients need to commit to exploring what a working relationship with you would look like. Number three, the commitment to change. It's likely implementing your solution will require change. Number four, the commitment to collaborate. Your client must be willing to make the leap to make your solution our solution. Number five, the commitment to build consensus. Winning complex deals requires buy-in from many stakeholders. Number 6, the commitment to invest. Your dream clients need to be willing to invest time, energy, and money. Number 7, the commitment to review your solution. You need to get this commitment from all stakeholders in the process. Number 8, the commitment to resolve concerns. You need a commitment from the prospect to give feedback on your proposed solution so you have an opportunity to resolve concerns. Number 9, the commitment to decide. You need to get them to agree to move the process forward together. And finally, number 10, the commitment to execute. This comes after the sale, but it's critical to get the results and outcomes you sold them. There are 3 things you can do to improve your chances of getting a yes for each one of those commitments. Number 1, know your outcome. Know what commitment you're working towards at each stage of the process. Number 2, use natural, honest language. Don't use tricks or manipulation. Be polite, professional, and direct. And number 3, ask for commitments after creating value. If you're creating value in every stage of the process, it's much easier to ask for the commitment in return. Prospecting. If you want to close deals, you need a strong prospecting plan and execution strategy. Here's the 5-point plan to help you get started quickly. Number 1, identify your targets. A list of 60 dream clients is a good place to start. You can contact 15 per week and still have time left over for other prospecting work. Number 2, focus on nurturing dream clients. The idea here, as Anthony says, is to create value before you claim any. Prove you're a value creator. Number 3, build campaigns. Your first touch might be a connection request on LinkedIn, followed by a personal email that includes value-added content without asking for anything in return, yet. Number 4, used plan dialogues. Don't wing it. You only get one chance to make a first impression. Make sure it counts. Number 5, make prospecting a daily discipline. Sending 3 value-added emails and making 3 personal phone calls should only take you an hour a day. Get that in your calendar. Storytelling. The best way to sell outcomes is to tell a story that envisions a brighter future for your prospect. The ingredients of a great story include a hero, which is your client, an assistant, which is you, challenges your hero faces, a dragon that must be overcome, a vision for a brighter future, values, and finally, a wonderful outcome. Here are some things you can do to become a better storyteller. Number 1. Find the arc. Every great story has a progression of events that brings the hero to a climactic event. Number 2, find the details that bring your story to life. Make sure there are enough details to make your story feel real and alive. Number 3, be entertaining. This is easier said than done, but try including an amusing anecdote or story that you experienced in the past that is relevant to the prospect. Diagnosing. Before you can tell the story, you first need to understand where your prospect wants to go. This requires you to dig down to the root cause of the prospect's pain. As you've probably heard before, asking why many times while listening to your client will help you drill down into the root cause. Here are 5 ways you can improve your diagnosis quickly. Number 1, don't interpret your prospect's experience through your own. Don't lead with your experience, allow the client to tell you theirs. Number 2, don't ignore your client's vision. Your prospect might have different ideas about what a solution looks like than you do. Always start from there instead of brushing that solution aside. Number 3, consider the constraints and obstacles. It's critical to uncover things that will hinder the implementation of a solution. Understanding the financial process and external constraints in the way is critical. Number 4, ask the difficult questions. What is the cost of not improving performance? Or why hasn't this problem been solved before? Number 5, allow your prospect to teach you how to win. Remain curious and patient throughout the process, and your prospect will show you how to win the deal. Negotiating. Mark Hunter, the author of High Profit Selling, reminds us to never negotiate the value the customer will receive. Sometimes you get to the end of the sales process and your client will ask you for a price break. Your response should be to remind your prospect that the pricing model you presented was engineered to get the exact results required. Here are four tools to help you become a win-win negotiator. Number one, remember that you can walk away. You must negotiate a win-win deal or nothing at all. Number two, don't negotiate until you're selected. If you're asked about price, respond by asking whether or not you are selected. Number three, only negotiate once. Be certain that your first negotiation is your final negotiation. And number four, speak honestly and creatively about sticking points. Great negotiators create winning agreements despite conflicting needs. Business acumen. Prospecting, storytelling, and closing are what Anne Arino calls first-generation sales skills. Then we have value creation, which he calls second-generation sales skills. These are all necessary, but insufficient to excel in today's environment. To succeed today, you need to have, well, you guessed it, third-generation sales skills, which requires you to know exactly how a business works. Market strategy, unique value propositions, financial metrics, and a bunch of other stuff that, when combined, actually helps your client company produce better results. Here are seven things you can do to raise the level of your business acumen. Number one, read business books and magazines. This is the lowest cost education you can get. Number two, read nonfiction books that have nothing to do with business. This will give you situational knowledge. Number three, find company tutors. Your colleagues know enough to help you get up to speed. Number four, get mentors. Lots of other people in your network can help too. Number five, let the client teach you his business. This is the working person's MBA. Number six, write down what you learn. This will help you recall and refresh your knowledge over time. And finally, number seven, get a formal education. This is expensive, but helpful for a bunch of reasons. Change management. In most cases, implementing your solution in an organization is going to require significant change in your client's business. Here are five things you can do to help make this change possible. Number one, identify and build your team. Who do you need on your team inside the client's organization? Who will benefit most from your solution? Who has the most influence internally to create change? Get those people on your side. Number two, identify the obstacles to change. One of the biggest obstacles, always, are the people in the company that oppose the changes your solution requires. Number three, deal with conflicting interests. Make a list of all potential conflicts and devise solutions to them long before you make your presentation to the stakeholders. Number four, build and sell the case for killing the status quo. In order to do that, you need to clearly demonstrate why the status quo is either undesirable or dangerous. And number five, play politics. If you need to, modify parts of your offer to win over enough people so you can actually execute the deal. Leadership. Leadership is something you have to earn as a salesperson, and even if you don't have a formal leadership title, you'll still have to lead the people in your organization to get the results your client expects and deserves. Here are three things you can do to improve your ability to lead others. Number one, read and study leadership. Don't like reading? Choose books with numbers in the title because they've done the work for you already. Number two, learn to own the outcome. No matter what, take responsibility for the results your client receives. And number three, lead from the front. Be in the action, leading through example. Conclusion. So there you have it. Everything you need to start developing the nine mindsets and the eight skill sets you need to master in order to become a world-class salesperson.